This is Telling Tales with Ms. G here at 104.3, and tonight I have the poets and one guitarist. So, the guys are in the studio, and they are J.R. Rosales, who is our registered musician. He's not going to play for you tonight, but he is going to tell you what he's going to be doing with Gwoosh Kanadi on the 18th at the Rookery. We also have M.D. Christensen in, and he's going to be telling us wonderful things as well as two poems. And Mr. Bill Merck is back with us. Yay, Bill's here. And he's going to also read some of his wonderful poetry for us. So, go ahead, guys. Say hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Thank you so much for having us back. This is fantastic. Thank you.
Yo.
Yo. I'm so glad to have you guys here. I really am. I love it. I love having guest stars on the show, and you guys are guest stars of our town. Yeah, I can't see. There you are. There you are. I can see you now. Had to see everybody in the studio.
Back here behind the equipment.
Hey, here I am. So, first of all, let's start with Mr. Rosales, because he's going to tell us what he's going to be doing at the Rookery. Can you give us more specifics, or who's going to give us the specifics of what the show is, and then tell us what you're going to do?
I'll tell you what I'm doing.
Okay. Tell us what, when, where, and how.
I was lucky to be asked by Jackie to play at this fundraiser. What I'm doing is I'm playing accompany guitar for all the poets.
Wow.
I'll also be playing some filler guitar for when the poets aren't on stage, and should be a good time. I'm excited.
That sounds wonderful. Now, where?
Oh, yeah, at the Rookery.
Yeah,
the Rookery Cafe, downtown Juneau, Alaska.
Yeah, and that's on Seward Street. It's next to Rainy Day Books. Yes, and Shoe Fly, for those of you who are more interested in shoes than books. Of course, you wouldn't be listening. and that is going
Where
to happen.
Where is our shoe show?
Watch
I mean, there should be a shoe show.
Yes, Mike is scary. Okay, so that's going to happen on Friday, April 18th at 8 p.m.?
6 to 8 p.m.
6 to 8 p.m. See, that's why you need to tell us this stuff. And it's a 5-course meal. And it's $80 a plate. And Bill is going to tell us more about where to get tickets and what we get for our $80.
Well, it is, again, a 5-course meal put together by the Rookery. And we could go through the menu. It's pretty tasty stuff. I don't know how much time you want to spend on that.
Let's just give a little bit of appetizer, entree.
Okay, what is the spinach salad, Dungeness crab fritter, portobello steam bun, duck faw, lemongrass, duck sausage, rice noodles, and Thai iced tea cheesecake do for you.
Ooh.
Oh, that's good.
Ooh,
that's good for $80. That's really nice, yeah.
And on top of the food, you're going to get five poets who will be reciting as
directly
opposed to reading.
Directly on top of the food. We're going to come over and...
Each one of them will be an entree. So you'll have five poets reciting with J.R. backing them up.
Wonderful.
And J.R. also, like you mentioned, will be doing some music in the beginning and probably between courses a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's going to be co-hosted by Christy Nami Erickson and Dee Durego.
So that's wonderful.
We're very excited about that.
Yeah.
I'm not the appetizer. I'm the aftertizer.
He's the thing on cleaning your palate,
that's
right?
That's okay. Right. That's what you
gotcha.
Cleanse your palate with my Christian tea.
Okay. Scary. And the exciting thing also about Christy is she just had a CD come out of spoken word.
That is correct. Yeah, she just had a release party a week and a half ago.
Right.
At the Hangar Ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
Very well attended. I think there were 70 people there. I mean, it was pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. I heard it was pretty packed.
JR played a little bit of that, too.
Yeah.
JR helped Christy on her CD. So.
Yes, I know. And the CD sounds wonderful. I'm going to play it on my Thursday show on KRNN, so tune in for that. I'll have more poets that day as well. So
you are a fan. You are a supporter.
I really am a big fan of your poetry, all of you, including Mike, who I get to hear for the first time tonight, but I know Mike, so I just know it'll be something.
I was to understand we were here to talk about cowboy boots.
Uh-huh. I'm going to get you out of this. Anyway.
Can I interrupt real quick?
Yes, yeah,
one thing I do want to bring up before we get into the poetry portion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been pushing this for a few weeks now. We've been talking about it as a board for quite some time. we really want to reach out and mention the sponsors who've really gone above and beyond. You know, we've had tickets on sale online. You can get a hold of any of the board members. Mm-hmm. Go to Juno Poetry Slam at gmail.com. You can reach us there. But we've had a lot of response. We still have a few tickets left. They are going pretty quickly. But I do want to mention Rico Whirl, for one, with the Trickster Company, above and beyond. You know, he's always been a strong supporter. M.K. McNaughton as well, friend of the family, big supporter. UAS, big fan. And I know the folks here at K3 stations are always big supporters. And also the Jack. Everybody's just been fantastic. They've been, you know, pumping us up and getting the word out on the street, and so we just can't thank them enough. Really want to celebrate them as much as the event as we can.
That's wonderful. That's really good. I'm really glad. Yeah, I understand that there's a lot of support. It's kind of like we now have a little telephone tree of five of us that call each other and say, did you hear about the latest poetry thing that's coming out?
Nice.
You know, you should check it out. Nice. So, we probably will check this out.
It's not a telephone tree, it's a poet tree.
It is a poet tree. But they're not poets, Mike. They're people who are supportive of poetry. So that is wonderful. So are you guys ready to read your poems, and who is going first?
It's your show.
I say you guys just do that scissors paper thing. No, let's just go Mike.
Lizard.
Okay.
I picked this completely at random. I used to write a lot of love poems to the moon, and then I had a political period where I wrote mostly political poems starting in about 2000 and going for 8 years there. Interesting how that worked. And this is neither of those. This is kind of, I was talking, we brought Michael Robinson up. And we were talking about Waiting for Godot. And I've always liked Lucky's monologue in that. So this is called, what is this called?
Well, I don't know.
This is called Media Festo. Okay. Blame the adult lagoon. God's whiskers are trimmed by the overachieving microbots of Floridian water hoarders in their crispy cream uniformaldehyde redemption-seeking bottle capitalist manifestivities of transvestites healing vegetable curves through the doorway of trained llamas out to retrieve the caramel mail of wind socks. All a flitter, a flutter, a nutter on the banjo of destiny, knitting tiny lampoons harvested by the vicious harpoons, laminated by the viscous pontoons in the tiny, naughty nighties of the night. Swarms of Bengal toast fromage blanc, maquis of some kind of quark rondo algebra hiss, poltroons of tourist destinations on a pesky and imaginary planet of retired locomotives, hospitalized by the current events occurring in the main asteroid belt, currently being popularized in the popular songs of Watkins, Bella Frump, and a whole platoon of undersized Girl Scouts fed on anthracite and misnomers, cuddled together for the common good by gold, by God's whiskey, brewed by broods of cloned astronauts, outside of time, inside of miniature portraits of the titans of industry, tycoons in their vegetable shooters, nude on the moon, removed by hand from 10-gallon prehistoric sombreros, worn by the entire Ministry of Economy-sized refrigerators, where the heart wants upon a don't ask me again, a weird hum and buzz of leopard coons, of leeching, lecherous leprechauns, of damn Sam Beckett and his pocket version Catcher in the Rye. We have no need to get down on your knees for don't make me bleed for you, Media Festo. The word balloons are obscured by lampreys, nature's vampire, wired in a way that mimics nootropics, that mines semiotics, that memes psychotic robots with thin conversational skills, and a pocket full of atemporal error with doubloons pasted boobies.
Wow. That was amazing.
I'm always exhausted at the end of a life.
I know, right? That was M.D. Christensen with Media Festo. I really like that. That is awesome. I think I'm going to need copies. I have yours. Okay. We need copies to put with the Facebook recording that we're going to make. So that was really good. That was really good. That was great. That's a whole other side of you. I like that.
It's sometimes poetry is just play.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That's awesome.
getting in touch with my inner three-year-old babbling, which is so deep underneath the surface.
That's
you
a great
gladly tell us there. It's really takes excavation. Dynamite.
That's a good place to go, though. I think if you can go there daily, you can survive the rest of life. That's wonderful. Mr. Bill, would you like to read one of yours?
I would be honored. Thank you very much. I hope everybody's enjoying Poetry Month, by the way.
I think so. I mean, I have actually seen a lot more poetry out on the internet than I think I normally see. And it's kind of funny because I kind of make fun of those commemorative months since we really celebrate all this stuff year round,
right?
You know,
right.
But people really get into it. I think they just, you know, they can come up with stuff about just amazing.
Well, I'll tell you what, as someone who writes, and Mike may or may not agree, but April's exhausting, honestly. If you're trying to do 30 poems in 30 days, even if it's haiku or whatever.
Sure.
It's tough. I really applaud anybody who can meet those deadlines.
It's the cruelest month.
It is. I read that somewhere.
That's a great song. Very true. Very true.
All right. So I'll read one called Objects in the Mirror Are Larger Than They Appear. This photograph, taken on our weekend hike, you beneath the trestle, me beside, the two of us looking east like children waiting on a present. Last summer's yellow roses, heaven-scented, so perfect in their blooming, seeming to shrink beneath the weight of seasoned oak. I can still hear the timbers creak as our engine crashed through, cinders flying, trailing cars darker than a widow's dreams. One final red light on the caboose, its message dimming into a purple darkness, curving slow, then just as slowly gone. Thanks.
That was wonderful. Thank you
Mike
very much.
Mike and I are kind of like two sides of a coin, you know.
Well, let's just say it kind of helps, you know, to have, you know, really, when you've been on the show before, we've always had someone that's been just really, oh, and then we've had you that's been a little calmer, and then we go, oh, again, a little calmer.
Trying to find
it's a
that
nice
balance,
balance,
right?
It really is. I think it's nice. I like it. We can't have all the time.
No.
I'm sometimes a little too rrr. So, gotta calm it down a little bit. So, I'm going to play a little music, give us a little break, and get everybody out there their moment of break, which I never give them a break during my show. So this will be nice. So we'll be back in like a minute. So please stay tuned. You're tuned in to Telling Tales with Ms. G and her poets tonight here at KTOO 104.3 in Juneau, Alaska. Hi there. We're back. Took a little longer than a minute, but we were having too much fun. This is Ms. G with Telling Tales here at 104.3. We are still here, me and the poets and the musician. Yes, J.R. Rosales is in the house, and he is a wonderful guitarist. You can hear him on April 18th, Friday, at the Rookery. We also have M.D. Christensen. He's already read one awesome poem. He's got one to go. And Mr. Bill Merck. He read His Objects in the Mirror Are Larger Than They Appear. That is life. That really is. So they are still here, and they decided to give me a moment to read a very short story about a poet. I know, isn't that cool? It's called The Poet. It's by Ben Lurie. And here we go. A man sits down and writes a poem. It is not a great poem, he knows, but still he has written it, and so it makes him feel proud. Everywhere he goes, he recites it in his head. Then one day the man has a great idea. I will send my poem off to be published, he says. And so he goes, buys an envelope, and sends it on its way. Many weeks later, the poem comes back. It has been rejected. The man is sad. I knew it was not a great poem, he thinks to himself, but still, I thought it was pretty good. A moment later, he becomes very angry. Who are they to say what's good and bad, he thinks. They probably never wrote a poem in their life. And so, he decides to send his poem out again. The man sends the poem out many, many times, and every time it comes back rejected. This is crazy, the man thinks. This world is insane. What the hell is wrong with these people? So the man decides to publish his poem himself. He takes it down to the corner store and makes 14,000 copies. Then he wanders all over the city handing them to people and taping them onto signposts and sliding them under doors and folding them into paper airplanes and launching them off buildings. He does this for days and days and days and days and days until finally all his copies are gone. Then he goes home and collapses on the couch. I have done everything I can do, he thinks, and turns on the TV. The TV is full of news about the man, or rather news about his poem. Everyone is talking about it, everyone. People on the street are being interviewed. I think it's pretty good, one person says. I think it is a pretty good poem. It's not the best poem I've ever read, says another, but it is free, and that's good for me. I didn't like it, a third person says, but then again, I don't really like poetry. Bah, says the man and turns the TV off. Just then there is a knock on the door. The man stands up and walks over and opens the door. There is a very pretty lady outside. Are you the man who wrote that poem? The lady says to him. I am, says the man. Who are you? I am a writer for a famous magazine, she says. I'd like to interview you about your life and poem. Would that be okay? The interview lasts for quite some time. The man describes his childhood and his views on life and talks at length about his job and how much he dislikes it. So what's next, says the lady when he's done with it all. Next, says the man, what do you mean? Next, says the lady, next is what I mean. You know, what are you going to write next? The man frowns. He hadn't thought of that. He hadn't thought about writing more. I don't know, he says. I haven't figured that out. Well, says the lady, one thing's for sure. You won't have to self-publish again. When the lady is gone, the man sits for a while, thinking. Then he gets out a piece of paper and sharpens his pencil and sits down and tries to write. He tries and tries and tries. But every single thing he writes is about the lady reporter. I'd love to go out with you, the lady says when he calls. When exactly did you have in mind? The man and the lady go out for drinks that night. The lady tells him all about her childhood and her views on life and goes on at length about her job and how much she likes it. Have you decided what you're going to write next, she says when they get to the end of the night. Well, the man says, if you want me to be honest, I don't think I want to write anymore. The man and the lady spend lots of time together. The man asks her to marry him, and she says yes. They have a nice wedding, buy a little house, and settle down in the suburbs and have kids. 14 years later, the man writes another poem. He does it in the TV room while the kids are at school. When it's done, the man reads it over. This one's even better, he says. And he smiles and locks it in a drawer. The end. That's called The Poet by Ben Lurie. I really like him. He has very weird stuff. You guys are welcome. It's fun having live people in here laughing and stuff. Okay, so we have another poem by the two of you to do.
Okay.
And I think we should go for that. And if I get to mine, I do. And if I don't, I got other shows. Whole month.
Yeah.
So, who wants to be next?
Mike, you want to go again?
Sure. This one is more of, it's more of a story. It has more of a plot.
Plots are good.
Or maybe not. I could be wrong.
Let's go for it and see the listeners.
I don't know. It's got, it has 20 footnotes that I won't read.
Thank you. We don't have time.
they'll be on the internet.
There you go.
It's the annotated version is like three times longer.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's called Your Mother.
Okay.
Okay. Typically, my poetry is lyrically dense. Additionally, it seems to me to not make too much sense. Ani soit que mal et pense. Occasionally, it swerves into freshman French, for no apparent reason whatsoever. Mercurial inconsistency equivalent to Juno weather, filled with words both angular and muscular. Metempsychosis, epistemological, crepuscular. Sinuous syntax bent at non-Euclidean angles. Guillotined participles left to dangle. Mangled like a surgeon's fingers in a barroom brawl. Punctuated by inexplicable shoutouts to Juvenal. It doesn't have an easy, well-lit point of entry, a dummy's guide, a fleet of footnotes, or a key. I contemplated adding one, but then thought, well, frack this, when the rest of the poem is just as obscure as Abraxas. It's jumbled and scrambled as a surrealist's dream, like every bloody utterance was run through an enigma machine. It doesn't have a recognizable story arc. It's like wandering through a dictionary, eyes closed in the dark. There's no context, status quo, and then disruption, only to be replaced by a new equilibrium. There are no characters to whom you can relate, or hopes or tropes or sudden twists of fate. What does it mean? It's like a chupacabra doing an interpretive dance about Martian algebra. Maybe it's an anagram and you merely need to rearrange the letters into something you can read, mash up the sounds to make them more profound or at the very least intelligible the other way around. It's like it was written in some unfamiliar tonal language where a falling vowel or something similar changes the poet into the listener, changes your mother into a serial killer. The clatter of consonants like a tower of plates balanced on a spindle, toppled by an irate ape. Seems full of portent, but you're not sure what it meant. It went by as fast as spring, and elephant, 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 elephant! I mean, it's like listening to free jazz backwards or seeing your roommate's sister at a strip club. Awkward. But at least it has a decent flow, you know, until suddenly it doesn't. And then all of those heroic couplets uncouple and the Alexandrine hexameter is replaced by iambic pentameter or what's worse, free verse. And you feel like you've been on a journey, but you're not sure where you are. So you get in the car with the carcass of a carbuncled hamster and the trunk of a 67 Rambler on a road trip to Ambler and listening to Kenny Rogers, the Gambler, which in the final draft to avoid confusion will be switched to Justin Bieber or else no one will get the illusion. With a hitchhiker picked up in Palmer, who looks disturbingly like Jeffrey Dahmer, but is considerably calmer, considering this time I'm the one with the axe under my seat.
Boy, that just... You just try to picture everything at once, your brain's just going. I like it. Good luck, JR. With the musical accompaniment to that one.
12 strings on my guitar for that one.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
You'll need the notes, I think, for that one.
I think you're going to need a little electrical music there. Wow.
No, he's going to be rhyming D minor with C minor. It's cool.
Well, ladies and gentlemen out there, if you have not figured out by now, you should definitely check out The Rookery on April 18th and see this awesome poetry display and musical accompaniment that is coming to our town. That's amazing. We live among these people. That's awesome.
And kind of scary. Yeah.
That's a little scary. I like being on edge. I like it. Well, Bill... You are next.
Sure.
Yeah.
I can do
you
one
ready?
More.
Okay.
Yeah, before I do this real quick, though, I really do want to applaud JR for helping us out here on Friday. He's going to be working with five different poets, five different styles, five different types of vernacular and phrasing, so it's really a challenge, and he's up for it. We did a rehearsal the other night. He's awesome.
That's great.
Just awesome.
Yeah.
So I think he's excited about it.
I'm so excited.
He has a nondescript look on his face, in case you're wondering. So we're like, you're excited, right?
I'm excited.
Could
he's
be fear,
excited.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Yeah. No,
okay.
He's going to be awesome. It's really going to be a fun event. And again, I really want to thank the sponsors who are really helping us get the word out. So thank you to everybody.
Yes, thank you. That is going to be, it's going to be wonderful. I love having you guys on the show and telling everybody about it. And so I'm looking forward to Thursday night when we do that on KRNN as well.
Sure.
Yeah. So, Mr. Bill?
So you got time for one more?
We do.
Okay, great, thanks. This is called In a Far Corner of the Room. In a far corner of the room, the poem waits, considering its apologies. For its appearance, letters scratched against a broken sky, thin spruce limbs waving. For its tardiness, late as it arrived, fearful, skulking home, cap brim pulled over its eyes, shoes whispering through a neighborhood blanketed in dream. For its apparent weariness, knuckle joints popping, hip bones rotating hard in their sockets as it hobbled uphill home, searching agates from a littered field. For its timidity, opening itself up only after the lights were out, shy lover, one button at a time. For regretted indiscretions, hunkered as it was among sculpted hedges peeking through, jelly jar poised for some errant firefly, sensing that sometimes lives, once challenged, discover better focus, singing new and clearer songs. For its inconsistent confidence, wanting at times to step away from the shadows, crawling from its corner, returning back inside the dulled lead end of a pencil. And mostly for its guilt, weeping softly for words reconsidered through no fault of their own, erased because they did not seem to fit the sentence just right. The poem remains, shadowed, taking stock, breathing forward, sensing, between the lines, a slight shifting of the sun. Thank you.
Thank you. That was wonderful. That was Mr. Bill Merck, and he gave us In a Far Corner of the Room. Well, guys, I have really enjoyed having you on the show, and you need to keep doing more poet shows so I can keep having you on the show, or, you know, you could just come back.
just hang out.
I mean,
I have to go away.
You have to leave.
You
do
have to leave for a moment, yes. But April, like we said, is Poetry Month, and so, you know, you guys could keep on going, because I think it's awesome. I love poetry. I think it's amazing when you have such a short amount of space and time to write something that is so meaningful. As well, you know, other people take a whole book, and sometimes it's not meaningful. And but you manage to do it in you know, such long poems, short poems. It's all very amazing.
You're very kind. I think we do it because we love it. We love the frustrating aspects of it.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
It's fun. Yeah.
And we get great feedback.
And
definitely.
You know, one of the wonderful things about Whoosh is that it happens every month. So you have a deadline.
Absolutely.
It's okay, and you have to get off your butt and actually write something down and show them something new. You can't be reading the same poem month after month.
That's right. It's true life's homework.
True story.
That's amazing. Okay, so April 18th, the Rookery, 6 to 8 p.m., mm-hmm. And there are still tickets available.
Last time we checked, I think we had 18 left.
Okay.
So limited seating. This is a pretty special event.
Right.
We'd really like to have everybody. We like to fill the house.
Yeah.
Which would be great.
Yeah. And I like the Rookery seating. I assume it's going to be the same, where it's like one big family dinner, which, you know, that kind of atmosphere, which I really like. So
the seating, as I understand it, is going to be the same. Travis is going to set up the same way. We've been there before.
Yeah.
We know the event. JR was just talking about music tonight, whether he needs a speaker or not, or do acoustic. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. So.
Yeah. That'll be great. That's going to be really good. Okay, you're enticing me. You're taking me to dig really deep into my shoe allowance. If you have a clothing allowance, you might want to skip that dress for the month and go to the Rookery.
It'll be worth your while.
It will be. It will. I mean, listen to this. Yeah, it's going to be worthwhile. So, okay, so I'm going to say goodnight. This has been Telling Tales with Ms. G and our wonderful poets and the town. And so we're going to say our goodnight. And New Letters on the Air is already in progress. So enjoy that. Until next time. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.